dear brothers and sisters, let's spend the first 30 seconds. Let's come before God and confess any unclean thought, any evil deed we have committed. Let's come before Him and ask for His cleansing. Dear Father, you know every ungodly thought in our mind and every evil deed we have ever committed. By our sinful nature, we do not want to seek you, the Holy God. Even though you created us and are our Heavenly Father, we have all turned away from you, like the sheep that have gone astray. But you are our great shepherd. You do not forsake us even when we refuse to seek you. You seek us out. You heal the brokenhearted and you bind our wounds. You clothe us with your Son's righteousness so that we can now seek you with confidence. And as you promise, you will be found by those who earnestly seek you. This is a special needs awareness month. Father, I thank you for all these precious children who taught us what it means to truly love with patience and sincerity. We thank you for the privilege to watch over them, to protect them, and to raise them to be followers of Christ. May you strengthen them physically, mentally, and spiritually. Use them as witnesses of your grace, provisions, and abundant love. As many junior students are away at the junior retreat, we continue to pray for their thirst for truth. Among the youth this weekend, praise you for good messages and good fellowship time they have been able to enjoy so far. And we pray that you will sustain the passion and eagerness in the hearts of the youth to know and trust you more deeply. We pray that once they return home, they'll continue to seek you, put you first, and follow you courageously. And we pray for safe travels as they return this afternoon. We also pray as one body of Christ for those among us who are currently suffering from cancer or other physical or mental illness. Father, we pray for your healing hands be upon them and grant them recovery. We pray that you encourage them and strengthen them. We thank you for all the co-workers and seekers in the gospel talk class and all the local missions teams that continue to reach out to the Muslims, Hindus, and the Jewish communities, both in our neighborhoods and on campus. Lord, bless them with your rich presence. Encourage, strengthen, and comfort them. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please remain standing as we turn to Romans 3, 9 to 20. We'll use the ESV version. What then? Are we Jews any better off? No, not at all. For we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin. As it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their path are ruin and misery, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped, and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. This is a reading of God's word. Please be seated. Dear brothers and sisters, the title of my sermon today is Hide and Seek. Have you ever played the hide and seek game? You know, my family loved to play this game when my children were young, and especially when their cousins were visiting. So once I was the seeker, and several children were the hiders. And after I counted down from 10 to 1, I started looking for the children. And it was this one boy who basically put his head inside a big pillow on top of our family sofa. So he could not see us, but we could see him clearly. And sometimes, well, like this boy, we want to hide from our failures, our past mistakes, our painful memories. And we didn't want anybody to see that, but God sees everything. He knows what we are going through, every single thought and every deed, and even when we feel very distant from Him. And back to the hide and seek game, when it was my turn to hide, I would typically not want to hide in a place where it was difficult for my children to find. I was also bigger, so it was a little bit difficult to hide sometimes. But as long as the children tried to seek me, they could always find me. And do you believe that if you truly seek God, He will be found by you? So the main idea of today's passage is from Romans 3:9-20. And can we bring up the main idea? The main idea is that God seeks us even when we want to hide from Him, hide from His face because of our sinful failure, sinful natures. He will be found by those who truly seek Him. And we have three divisions today. The first division is, no one sees God and everyone turns away from Him. Because by our sinful nature, we want to hide from Him. Now I want to go to Romans 3, if you can bring up the passage. Romans 3, verses 9 to 12. Romans 3, 9 started by saying that both Jews and Greeks are under sin. Now, recall that in Romans chapter 1, 18 to 32, we talk about God's wrath against all unrighteousness from those who did not honor God or give thanks to Him. The Jews might be thinking, yes, that's right. Those Gentiles who do not know God's law, they deserve to be punished. But then in Romans chapter 2, Paul turned around to the Jews and accused them of their hypocrisy. Because it is not the outward appearance, such as your circumcision, that saves you, but it is the circumcision of the heart that matters. So it was clear that no one can really be justified. You are either you are sinners in an outwardly way, or you are self-righteous. So in Paul's eyes, no one can really be justified through our deeds because we cannot really meet all the demands of the law. So Tim Keller gave a very good illustration. He said that assuming you with a few friends are trying to swim from Hawaii to Japan, Now, some of you might be able to swim for a few hundred yards, and then you give up. And one of you might be like as good as the Olympics champion. And you can swim for maybe 10 miles, a little bit more, but eventually you cannot reach the target. So all will fail. So in Romans 3:10-12, Paul was actually quoting from Psalm 14:1-3. It says that no one understands, and it's an issue of the mind. No one seeks God, it's an issue of the heart. And no one does good, it's an issue of the will. No one is really righteous before him. Something has gone wrong with our mind, our heart, and our will. Now, Paul said no one seeks God. Now, if God is good, why will we not see him? Why do I want to hide from his face if he's good? Now, we need to go back to the beginning, the Garden of Eden. In Genesis 2:16-17, God told Adam not to do this one thing. Now we have these laws from the Old Testament. But in the beginning, when Adam and Eve were with God, when they had an intimate relationship, God only gave them one command, one rule, about the trees. So, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in that day you eat of it, you shall surely die. So among all the trees in the garden, God only told Adam not to eat from one of the trees. And we all know what happened later. Even Adam was tempted. So now let's turn to Genesis 3:6-10 to see what happened after the serpent tempted Eve. Can we bring? Yes, good. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves a loincloth. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of God, of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. So the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and this is the lust of the flesh, a delight to the eyes, lust of the eyes, and desirable for gaining wisdom, and which is the issue of the pride, wanting to be like God. So she ate it. So what is sin demonstrated here? In one way, sin is choosing our own path for our self-interest and refusing God's leading. The serpent created doubts in her mind on God's word, and God specifically gave one single command, and they failed. But the consequence of this sin, and this is very important for today's sermon, is the disobedience of God's command is to lose the intimate relationship with God and to feel the shame and guilt. So they started hiding from God's presence. From verse 8, we see that God is the one looking for them. It's not the other way around. The whole Bible actually is about how God has been seeking the lost and to restore that intimate relationship Adam and Eve used to enjoy with him in the Garden of Eden. Now today, I actually want to show you some Chinese characters. I want to show you how these Chinese characters are put together. It's very interesting. And it's actually remarkably consistent with a story of teachings in the Bible. So the first character is the character Hyde. So this Chinese character has three components. The left side is the body. And then the two other components on the right side, the one on the top means several, the one in the bottom means wood or tree. So basically, it's a body hiding behind several trees. There's another version of this character, which we'll not get into, but basically, we had the first hide-and-seek game in the Garden of Eden, and the Chinese character, Hyde, actually is a very good description of what happened in the Bible. All right, so this is the first character, and we'll talk about the second character, but it's not seek, it's another character, which I'll talk to later. But the point is that when you fall into temptations, when you commit his sin, the first thing you want to do is to hide from God's face. Whenever we're under the authority of someone, and we disobey that authority, the first thing we want to do is to hide. Now think about it. If a prisoner escapes from prison, or if a criminal robs a bank, he will never seek the police. He will hide from the police. It's the police that will seek him. All right, anyway. So I want to give you one example. When I was about 10 years old, and I shared this story in the youth group, I was considered a pretty good student. I was considered to be an obedient son at home. I almost never got into troubles. I was the youngest of the six children, so I had a good relationship with my parents to such an extent that sometimes I jump on their bed, I'll sleep between my father and my mother, and they never kick me off the bed. So I had a close relationship with my parents. And in the neighborhood where I lived, we had lots of street food and some games you could play for, I forgot how much money, maybe 50 cents in Taiwanese dollars. And if you win, you get a prize. I don't know, like a hot sausage or something like that. And for some reason, I became addicted to one of these games. But my daily allowance was $1, Taiwanese dollar. Right? So I could only play the game twice in a day. But I really wanted to play more. So imagine that you have a really nice game on your smartphone today, but you can only play it twice a day. That's how I felt. So one day, my school was doing fundraising for a sports event. So I told my father, so he gave me $100, 100 Taiwanese dollars, to bring to the school to donate it. I did, except that I kept 50. Because I figured out that if I keep this extra $50, I can play 100 games. And I was amazed at myself for coming up with this scheme. And I was amazed I could lie and steal at the age of 10. All because of my addiction to the game. So, unfortunately, one day my uncle, he took me to school for that sports event. And the school posted the amount of donation of every family. Speaking of privacy, no privacy at all. And that was it. My family donated $50. So my uncle went home and told my father, oh, I saw that you donated $50. Guess what happened? So my father was furious. You know, not only that was hurting his reputation, he was going to donate $100, but he was really disappointed at his son. So he actually slapped my face for the first time and the last time in my life. But I learned my lesson. But actually, I was kind of happy to receive that punishment because I didn't want to continue in that way. But You know what I lost? I lost, for a period of time, a close relationship with my father. It took a long time to recover from that. And I think that actually was the most painful thing. You see, yes, we tend to want to hide from someone's face if that person has authority over us and we disobey him. It happened between Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and it happened between me and my father. It took a while for us to restore that relationship. So this brings us to the second point. Go to the second point. Sin breaks our relationship with God and with others. See, once our relationship with God is broken, we may pretend that he did not exist while we continue our daily business in a very self-centered way rather than a God-centered way. And a broken relationship with God typically brings broken relationship with others, resulting in verbal abuse, as you can see in verse 13 to 14, or even physical harm to others from verses 15 to 17. So you see, when we are focused on our needs, we may consider others to be in the way of getting what we want. And what we want could be the idols in our life. Could be promotion, could be fame, could be wealth. Whatever is very important to you, that replaces the position of God. And this may be especially obvious in the workplace. So James chapter 4, verse 2 reminds us, you desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet, you cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. So instead of coming to God in prayer, we resort to our means to get what we want, which frequently involves verbal abuse of others. For example, have you ever subtly pointed out the flaws of others in a subjective way at the expense of his or her reputation? Words can murder or kill someone. And this is why the Bible uses such strong words in verses 13 to 14, and which are quoted from the book of Psalms and Isaiah. Their throat is an open grave. Their mouth is full of curse and bitterness. What we say in our mouth came from our heart. And so when we speak words like that, it tells us the situation of heart. It's almost like a grave with dead bones. So we need to examine the state of our heart. Sometimes sin leads to physical harm as well. The first murder in the Bible is by Cain, the first son of Adam. He murdered his own brother Abel purely out of jealousy. And in verse 17, if we can go to Romans 3, verse 17, we see that when we do not seek God, there will be no peace in our mind. We may always be worried about not getting what we want, and it doesn't matter whether you are already very famous or very rich. Now, I shared this story in the Pilgrim's Progress class. When I was working at AT&T Bell Labs in Murray Hill in the 1990s, we used to have a Bible study. I still remember this young sister who was a summer intern to two very famous physicists. And one of these physicists almost got Nobel Prize, actually. And she was working with these two physicists who also happened to be a couple. Now, she would go to a soup kitchen on Saturday morning, and then she would go to church, a local church, to worship on Sundays. So these two physicists were mad. They were mad at her. And they say that you, as a summer intern, you have so much to learn. You should work 7 days a week. And we work 7 days a week. And we're trying to catch up with others. And why are you wasting your time on Saturday morning to go to this soup kitchen and Sunday to this church? You need to catch up. And I want you to imagine what happened to this poor PhD student who was an intern, right? Later on, she's going to need a recommendation letter from this famous physicist. And should she follow their advice, or should she continue to do what she was convicted to do? I want you to think about this. If you were there in that situation, what would you do? And I can tell you what happened. She continued. Every Saturday, she still went to the soup kitchen. Every Sunday, she continued to go to church to worship. And you know what happened? These two physicists, this is famous, world-renowned, one almost got a Nobel Prize. They found out that this sister has peace in her mind that they don't have, even though they're rich and famous already. And eventually, they asked her about that peace in her, and they became Christians. And this is a true story. These two physicists actually were in our Mandarin congregation, and now they went back to Taiwan. They are serving in a local church in Taiwan. Because of one intern who was not as famous, as rich as they were, but she had the peace in her that they envied. They didn't have it because they were always worried, what if I don't publish my paper fast enough and someone else did it? So they were working 7 days a week, 10 to 12 hours a day, always working, trying to compete with others. But eventually they actually became Christians. And they still have very good accomplishments. So that's one thing that happened. When your relationship with God is not right, you don't feel that peace in your heart. And what's worse, for some people, their hearts are hardened, and they begin to have no fear for God. Romans 3:18. Can we see Romans 3:18? There's no fear of God before their eyes when your hearts are hardened. And this actually points out to the root problem and the way to cure it. Because Proverbs 1:7 tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And Paul exposed all these issues of the sinful heart. So now we come to this third point, the conclusion. No one can be justified based on the works of the Lord. By works of the Lord, no one will be justified. The law simply makes us aware of our sins. The law is like a mirror, right? It shows every issues we have. But if we don't know how serious our sins are, we cannot truly appreciate how deep and wide God's love, grace is. So even though this passage looks very depressing, it's all about how sinful we are, but it's actually important for us to know how deep God's grace is. Now, at this point, some of us might still ponder, is it really true that no one seeks God? No one understands God? No one does good? Like what's said in Romans 3:9 to 12, we are not that bad. We're not like Cain. And we have to try our best to live a moral life, right? Maybe like the older brother in the prodigal son story. I think everybody is familiar with that in Luke chapter 15. We do what the father told us, unlike the prodigal son. And many of us are familiar with the ending. Now, this story, Luke 15, is beautiful. It doesn't end at the point when the prodigal son received the grace from God, right? Because we thought that was a key point of the story. It actually continued to talk about the older brother. So what happened to the older brother? The older brother complained to the father. Actually, he was furious because he found out that the father was treating this prodigal son very well. He clothed him with a robe. He had a feast for him. And he was working so hard, and the father didn't even kill a calf for him to enjoy with his friends. That was his complaint. Now, I want you to pay attention to what the father said. You are always with me, and everything I have is yours. That's what the father said, but the older brother did not recognize. And sometimes we feel we can identify with the older brother. When I first read this story, I felt that, that father was not fair. I feel just like the older brother. I try to do everything right. Now, I want you to think about this a little bit deeper. Does the elder brother care about his father? I want you to think, is his heart connected to the father's heart? You know, the father was so sad when he lost his younger son. So when the son returned, should the elder brother rejoice with his father or not? Does the older brother cherish the fact that he has always been with his father, which is the biggest blessing of all? But he cared more about having a kelp with his friends than spending time with his brother who just returned, who was lost but not returned. Is that the kind of older brother you like to have? So it's not what you do on the outside, it's whether your heart is connected to the father's heart. In Isaiah 64, verse 6, we have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. Yes, all our deeds that we thought were pretty good, righteous, were just filthy rags if we do not have the right motives. In Genesis 3:9, God called to the man, "Where are you?" He was the one seeking for Adam, the one who was lost, who lost that intimate relationship with God. And today, God is still seeking the lost. I don't know if there are seekers among us. You might think that, well, I made so many mistakes, I have so many failures, I cannot see God. Remember that Adam and Eve, they sold fig leaves to cover themselves. And that was, of course, not adequate. So God clothed them with animal skin. This is in Genesis 3:21. God made Adam and Eve garments of skin and clothed them, which was a sign for things to come. Because to have that skin, animal skin, you have to kill an animal. So let's pause for a moment and think about the tension here. If our sinful nature keeps us away from the holy God, how can we truly seek him? Because we are dirty, filthy. We cannot seek the holy God. But God's solution is simple. And I want to bring up the second character, Chinese character today. Okay, so this is the Chinese character for righteousness. It has two parts. The first part is the lamb on the top. You see the horns of the lamb? And the second part is me. So this basis is the lamb covers me. So let me take out my coat here. So let's assume that I am not clean. I cannot go before the holy God. But God gave us this lamb, the sacrificial lamb, who is pointing to Jesus, who was righteous, who died for our sins. If we believe in this fact, he gave us this coat. Just like this character, the lamb covers me. In other words, now God enables us to seek him without fear and with confidence, knowing that we are accepted not because of our deeds, how good we are. It's because he sees Christ in us. That's how he enables us to seek him. What is it like to truly seek God? First of all, we have to know, as we said, if you already thinking about seeking God, it's because God is already working in your heart through the Spirit. Jesus said in John chapter 6, 44-45, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." And he gave us repentance and faith as well. In 2 Timothy 2:25, "God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth." So coming back to our main idea, so God seeks us first so that we can truly seek him. And the good news is that God is not trying to hide from us. Just like the beginning when I said about the hide-and-seeking, I actually wanted to be found by the children. So he has chosen to reveal to us if you truly seek him. And this is a promise from Deuteronomy 4:29. "But if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul." So what is the picture of truly seeking God? It is to fill yourself with the desire to truly know him. And you can start by going to his word. Because Adam and Eve were doubting God's word. So you have to know God's word to truly know him, to worship and appreciate him, and to rejoice with him. And dear brothers and sisters, do not think that we can offer our righteousness or anything to God when we see him. Just like the elder brother. If you think that when I see God, I'm going to show him, "See, I did this, and I did this and that." See, if your hands are full when you see God, he cannot pour the grace on you. He cannot give you the grace. When we see God, we open our empty hands and be ready to receive. Acknowledge to God that I cannot be righteous with my own deeds, but open our hands to receive his abundant grace pouring out from heaven. So before we end today's sermon, I would like to invite you to reflect on this question for a short moment. Can we go to the reflection question? And before that, the main idea again, God seeks us even when we want to hide from his face because of our sinful nature. But he will be found by those who truly seek him. And the fact that we would be willing to seek him is also because of the Spirit working inside us to bring us to repent. So the reflection question is this: do we identify ourselves more with the prodigal son who felt that he had all kinds of failures, he could not really see his father anymore? Or are we more like the older brother? We feel that we have all these good deeds, right? And we deserve to be appreciated by God. Which one do you identify more? Are you willing to come to God and remember? You want to come empty-handed. Because your righteousness is not from what you did. It's from the sacrificial lamb, from Christ, who exchanged his position with you. He took over your sin, and he gave you his righteousness. How can we preach this gospel to ourselves every day? Let's spend 1 minute to think about this, and we close.